Patty K.
In my head, I try to picture, what did you do related to being called the Hummer that got you put in a chokehold and dragged out of a karaoke bar?
Dan Levy.
I think it's a guy thing that we are just better at rapid ass with diapers.
The podcast.
I got it.
I want
you
to do this.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'll do this for you.
I want to do this.
Starts now.
Hey, what do you say? You want to talk some game shows?
All right. Let's.
If it's not cheesy, it's not a game show opening, right?
I think that's the bare minimum of what makes it a game show.
You know, when I was younger, I didn't obviously know a lot about how TV and game shows work. I thought Alex Trebek, I would come home from junior high and I would sit on the couch and I turn on Jeopardy, and I thought Alex Trebek was just the smartest human being in the world, like a robot. He just knew all these answers. I had no idea what was going on. So I would sit down and probably twice a week when I get home from junior high, I'd sit down and go, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to get at least one of these answers. Never get any answers correct. But I thought Alex Trebek just knew all these answers and he was just a genius.
I was the other way around. I knew that he was a host, but I thought he was actually talking directly to my father, because I would come home and my dad would be on the couch. He would ask the questions and my dad would answer it. And my dad got them right like 90% of the time.
Really?
And I was like, Dad, go for the Daily Double. He's like, I'm not playing the game. I was like, oh, man. I thought he was the one doing it.
Live.
My dad, like it was. My father was a very opposite human being of how my brother and I are. My brother and I are sports people, into video games, we're into, you know, pop culture.
And your dad is smart.
My dad was like, he would have a Rubik's Cube and we would jumble it up as hard as we could and leave it on the bed. And 5 minutes later, he would have it back to, he was like a different brain that way.
Yep.
So I thought for a while it was him. But to be honest, the thing that makes me laugh about the most about Alex Trebek is that I can't imagine a guy of that even temperament saying in real life, I want to be a game show host. Like back in the 70s, those guys had like tremendous voices. They looked like they were on television.
Yep.
They had swag. They were loud. It was a game show. There was people involved. I can't imagine someone pitching, what if we did a game show where none of that existed? And we only appealed to the smartest of the smart.
Fun fact about how he got on that show. Do you know the story of how he got on Jeopardy?
No.
So, and I was just reading about this too. It was Lucille Ball that suggested that Lucille Ball, you know, I love Lucy.
What?
Who is
Lucille Ball? I think we should answer all these things in the form of a question.
Yeah, who is Lucille Ball? She was, I guess he hosted that High Rollers game first.
Yeah.
And then, so she was a fan of that game and suggested that he should do this new song called, or this new game called Jeopardy.
I did not. How did they even meet?
I don't think they met. I think he just, she was a fan of the show is what it seems like. And she was like, hey, this guy should do it. And Lucille Ball seemed, she was known for that too. Like finding talent and taking a chance on people. She was known for that kind of stuff.
I had no idea about that.
Fun fact.
It's good to be Lucille Ball. She just recommends careers.
So obviously we're talking about Alex Trebek, who passed away. What was it, yesterday or Sunday?
On Sunday.
Sunday
morning.
Yeah, Sunday, lost his battle to pancreatic cancer at the age of 80 years old. His last episode is going to air on Christmas Day. It's going to be the biggest Jeopardy ratings of all time. It's got to be.
And yet I will still forget to watch it. Every time they're like, this is the biggest Jeopardy game, you got to watch. I'm like, all right, maybe I will tune in. I'm like, oh, wait, was that last week? Dang.
I honestly don't even know when it's on. When is it on?
I think it's on Christmas. I think it's an actual Christmas day thing.
What time?
No. That's a good question. It changes every market.
Like a 3-ish, right? Like a middle of the afternoon?
It's like a 3:30, right after some sort of soap opera and right before Wheel of Fortune.
I'm warning you, I went down a super rabbit hole last night. So what we're going to do, Dan and I talked about, we're going to go through not only some of our favorite game show hosts, which I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on like the best game shows hosts of all time, right? Because those, I think at least the top three are going to be pretty universal. And I know you have a list, so I want to hear that and see. I'll see if I have to add any. But I went down this rabbit hole of forgotten game shows and forgotten game show hosts. And not only did I find the game show hosts, but how they got there, what they're doing now, what their life is like. I'm telling you, it spiraled quickly last night.
I will say this, that A, that is pretty interesting. And B, I got to tell you, out of the list that I made, I think only one of them is still actually on the air doing the job.
Really?
If you think about it, the list that I will say this, the top three that I didn't have anybody argue with me. The last two, everybody wanted to fight me for, which was a little bit more absurd than I thought was going to happen.
Sure.
But the top three I had, and I'll just give it right now, number three, Pat Sajak.
Okay.
Number two, Alex Trebek. And number one, Bob Barker.
Okay, interesting.
Pat Sajak is still on.
Yeah, he's still on, but why did you put Bob Barker in front of Alex Trebek?
Because I still think that Bob Barker, The Price is Right, is still the greatest game show of all time. You can have anybody watch that show from age 0 to 100, and you're still going to hear that music come on. You're still going to watch, and you're still going to give an opening bid. He had one of the coolest voices. He had that presence to him. He had that old school microphone where he held it from his ankle, and it still went up to his eyebrow.
How much of his success do you attribute to the microphone? That is,
I would say, about 50%.
It's one of the most iconic. I don't know. It's not even a prop because it's it has use.
It's not just the use. It's the use.
Yeah.
It is the microphone. Between that and the old school ring announcers that used to grab it from the ceiling. I think those are the two microphones. Us as broadcasters, like, I would really love a shot at one of those.
You're a sports guy. Do you watch boxing and UFC and all that stuff?
I do. I'm not as into it as a lot of people are. It's not that niche of a sport for me, but I will watch. I mean, because they're on right now, it's probably the only sports that's on television right now.
Do they do that? Does the microphone still come
down? No. They have the mic that they put right to the...
What a fail. Why?
I agree.
Why would you get rid of the iconic microphone that comes down?
Especially when they grip it like that and they're screaming and yelling.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So you had, by the way, Bob Barker is, Alex Trebek holds the Guinness Book of World Records in front of Bob Barker. Did you know that?
For doing the most shows?
Yeah. The most, game show episodes. And I think, it was like 6,829 episodes of Jeopardy. And Bob Barker is next. It doesn't say, I don't know how many he had, but
actually that is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Which I think is why it was one such a big deal when Bob Barker, is he still alive?
By the way? Bob Barker is still alive and kicking.
Okay, I thought so too. I almost said when he passed away, but when he quit the show and Drew Carey took over, because it's obviously an iconic person to take over the show. But now the big controversy is who's going to take over Jeopardy. And did you see who they're talking about?
There's two people.
Yeah.
There's one, it's Ken Jennings, the guy who was on the one. And I think it's Stephanopoulos, right? Who's the other one? The news anchor?
I saw the news. I didn't see who. That's why I was asking if you... I saw the Ken Jennings one, and I was like, ugh, that sounds awful.
Well, I think if you're going to do it, let's step away from that cut. You know what I mean? I do not like Drew Carey as The Price is Right, Bob Barker, but I understand when they're like, we're not going to replace that guy. Let's go a different route. Let's go a guy who is not as in your face, even keel. Drew Carey, I don't think, is a good game show host. I don't like him personally.
I liked him on Whose Line Is It Anyways.
That was a very good show because Wayne Brady was a star. And we were all like, oh my God, let's see what else that guy's going to do. But in terms of like how to pump up a crowd, there's no energy to him. The show is the energy. Alex Trebek, if he's gone, try not to get a newsy, nerdy guy in there. Get somebody in there who's like, oh my God, how'd you know that answer? I would never guess that for a million years.
Yeah, I don't like the Ken Jennings simply because I don't think he lasts, right? Like right now he's popular and like people that saw him go through this, it was exciting. But down the road, what if someone beats his record, then he's no longer relevant. And then 5-10 years from now, which I'm assuming Jeopardy is still beyond, people are not gonna remember, and the next generation of Jeopardy watchers, if that's a thing, will not have the same emotional connection to Ken Jennings when Alex Trebek built it as the host.
Well, you can't have Michael Jordan retire as the greatest of all time and then become the referee. That's just a weird career path for this guy. And I'm sure, I mean, you want enough money off the game show, pal. It's okay to walk away from the limelight a little while. Come back next year for Sweeps Week when they really need another Champions of Champions episode.
Right. Yeah, so why you had those three. Who was your two? Who are the bottom two that you said were controversy? What did you post on Facebook?
The number, okay, the fifth one, which I thought was not going to get that much of attention, was the one that got the most of it. And that was Steve Harvey. And I know a lot of people are Richard Dawson fans, and there are these old school fans. But to be honest, I like Richard Dawson, but Steve Harvey is hilarious on that show. The facial movement, just he made it funny. He made it like kind of like he would give a sarcastic look to somebody if they gave a dumb answer. And to me, that made the show and made it relevant again. I forgot that the show was even there if it wasn't for him.
Steve Harvey has mastered the science of silence.
Yes.
The comedy, right? It's not what he says. It's when he, it's just his body language. It's when he decides not to react to something because you don't, everyone's thinking it. You just be in the moment with people. Somebody says, hey, name three things that you put in a hole. And like a screw is not one of the answers they say, you know, he doesn't have to say it. Right.
And then the one guy, you can be YouTube and the guy's like, name something that comes after the word pork. And the guy goes, cupine. And the look that he gives the guy to the camera is like the most intimate feeling of a moment. Like, I feel like he and I are looking at each other in that moment.
So people hated Steve Harvey. Who was that? Who's the number four?
Peter Tamarkin, the pressure luck guy.
Oh, I was never a pressure luck.
You never liked the whammy guy?
No. Oh, wait. That was the no whammy, no whammy, no
yes,
whammy guy?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, see, I didn't even know the name of the game. I knew it as no whammy, no whammy, no whammy. The host was not, the star for me. It was the little thing. The little guy.
Yes, the little guy wasn't. But I mean, that show represented that guy to me. So maybe I was a little more biased with the actual, I like that guy associated with that show. But I thought he had that classic sound. You could tell that he was into it, and when those whammy guys came out, he stepped out of the way and let those guys do their job.
That's fair. Okay, so your top five.
By the way, have you ever seen the Pressure Luck documentary?
No. Is it good?
There is a documentary because one guy, I guess they only used to use three boards on how they used to do the actual thing, and he figured it out and won like $1 million, but like got into this whole trouble thing because he figured out the cheat mode.
Did he get to keep his money? Or like, to me, if that happens, that's not his fault.
No.
He's right?
No, God bless him if he can figure it out. But then he got in all sorts of other, believe it or not, things got weirder for a guy who was able to actually sit there for hours on end and figure out that board.
Okay, so that's what I thought. I thought those top three that you had were just going to be a universal, right?
Yes.
And
the last two were the ones that people were almost wanted my contact info to have an argument with me at midnight on a Sunday.
I like the Steve Harvey one. I like him as a host. I don't know if I'd put him in the top five of all time, but okay. I understand the emotional connection to those last two, and that's what it is for you, right? It's more of an emotional connection.
Of course. It's what I enjoy. It's connection. Again, these top lists are Dan Levy opinion. I'm not like going and chiseling it on a national monument.
You should.
I should. But right now, like, okay, that's how I feel. And everyone's like, what about Richard Dawson? What about Guy Smiley? I mean, there were like all sorts of people coming at me. I'm like, they get honorable mentions.
Six, seven, top 10.
Nah, I only gave the five. The top five is meant to hurt feelings. Sorry.
Yep. All right. Are you ready for this list that I put together?
Yes. I've been waiting all the last 2 days to hear this particular list.
Okay. So I went through top game show hosts. And when I originally put it on Facebook, I took it down actually because I was like, you know what? I want to wait. I want to do this and really go through it. But top game show hosts, wrong answers only. And to me, those genius. Are game show hosts, right? Those game shows that, I mean, were iconic, but not Jeopardy iconic, right? Like my grandma didn't know some of these game shows. So the first ones that came to mind were Jenny McCarthy and Chris Hardwick.
Ooh, those are great ones.
Singled out, right?
Yes.
And that was one of the first next generation dating shows that got big, right? There was the Dating Game, and then between there, was there another one that stands out to you?
Between those two?
Yeah.
No,
it's a timeline, right?
I would say that started like that reality TV-ish kind of like in the 90s, like it propelled its way to like, oh, that's right. You can do shows like this.
And Jenny McCarthy, so she, you know, started on that show, and then Carmen Electra replaced her. Remember that?
I do remember that.
So, but Jenny is, I met her, a weird story about Jenny. I met her at oddly enough, the Super Bowl in Houston. So, you know, it was those big press junkets that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's like hundreds of celebrities, all the different radio tables, people are all over. So I met some really, really cool people. And that time she was promoting something with her husband. Didn't she marry Donnie Wahlberg, right?
Yes. And they're from here. They live in Rockford, of all places.
Right. So they have a show. They have a TV show or something that they were promoting. And I got and I met her then. And it was so weird because she looks exactly the same as she did when she was on Singled Out. And that was in the 90s. And I don't know if you know this. Maybe you do because you're kind of a radio dork, too. But Chris Hardwick was a radio DJ first. Did you know
that? K-Rock in L.A. Yeah. I know people that worked with him.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's right. You know all those guys. So I forgot that he started in radio.
To be honest, is an interesting thing about Jenny McCarthy. My buddy and I, when I was in high school, I moved from West Hartford, Connecticut to Omaha, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But every summer I would go back and stay with my buddy for like a month and we'd go to basketball camps because, believe it or not, I was in shape, but I played a lot of basketball. And every night would be the same routine. We'd get home, we'd play basketball, we'd go home, go back to his place, watch Jordan videos, try to dunk on his hoop, and at night we would watch Singled Out, followed by Baywatch. That was like, it just happened to line up
you
that way.
Horny teenagers. That's
oh my God. At 14, 15 years old, we were like, this is the best we can get.
That's all that is.
And so Jenny McCarthy, we were like, my God, that woman is amazingly hot. So then years later, I would go to college and then move out to Chicago. And I started dating my girlfriend, now my wife. And I went to her family's house for Thanksgiving, and I don't know how the subject came up, and they were talking about Jenny McCarthy, and I was like, oh my God, I was in love with that girl. And the whole room stopped, and I looked at my wife, and she goes, did I not tell you that we grew up with her and her family in the block? I was like, what?
You're 1 degree away from Jenny?
1 degree. Not only that, but she is friends with my wife on Facebook, and will occasionally like my kids' pictures, and she'd be like, just so you know, your girlfriend Jenny just liked the picture. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. She knows I live. Yeah. She knows I'm alive. She knows I'm alive and I produced a cute kid. This is great.
Yeah. That's cool. I think that's a cool story. It's a cool
connection.
You never know. All right, so we keep going here. Do you remember Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I didn't know it as a game show until recently. I knew it. I know the song. I know the cartoon. Yeah.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
I didn't realize that there was an actual show.
Yeah. Greg Lee was the host of that show. And I thought he did a good job, but he didn't really do anything else after that. I tried to find more after that. I just like that show. So there's not much to that one. But the next one was Kurt Fogg. You know who that is?
No, I do not know that one.
Legends of the Hidden Temple host.
I do remember that show.
Great show. But again, didn't do much afterwards. He was like on an episode of Veronica Mars or something. That was his like claim to fame afterwards.
I think you're right.
He didn't do anything after that. One huge one that I think people will know his face, but won't always know his name or where he came from. Remember Nickelodeon Guts?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember who the host was?
I do not.
Michael Malley. Do you remember Michael Malley? If I showed you a picture of Michael Malley,
I'm going to Google it right now, actually. Michael Malley.
He also ended up on Glee. He'd done like a million things, though. He was on Parks and Rec. My Name is Earl. He was in the Sully movie.
I actually just saw that movie for the first time.
Here, you know him.
Oh my God, yes,
focus,
I do.
Focus. There you go.
That guy, he was in a great TV show.
Yes.
Yes, Dear, which I actually really, really liked.
Yeah, that's what it was. I couldn't remember what the TV show was that I knew him from, but he started as the host of Guts. And if you look up.
And he's, to be honest, for people that don't know, he is like in every TV, like beer commercial during a football game. He's always wearing like a Pirates hat or a Steelers hat. I know.
Here you go. Right there.
Oh, yep. That's it. That is it. Oh, my God. That looks nothing like him.
So for these forgotten hosts, I told you I went down a rabbit hole here. The next guy is somebody actually I've been watching on Netflix because they put the old episodes back up after they came out with the new episodes. I've been watching Supermarket Sweep with Dave Rupert.
That's a great show.
Yeah, so he did a ton of shows. He like appeared on 90210, Family Matters, a ton of stuff. But if you watch the old episodes, and we've been watching them, just like this,
they're on Netflix now, right? They got on Netflix.
So we've been watching them. That was our escape from politics. Like, put on old Supermarket Sweep. There is no pressure to watch when you watch Supermarket Sweep. One, the products are fun because they're all old school products. But there was kind of a little swagger of like, I think these contestants want to get with the host, want to get with David. And so it's funny to watch that happen back in, you know, whatever year it was that show originally aired. Because,
well, back in the day, the hosts, I mean, I don't know about Supermarket Sweeps, but back in the day, the hosts were like they were like the freaking rock stars, man.
Yep. That host of game shows. That's where you wanted to be.
Hell yes.
So he's good. The next one is, and I think it's going to blow your mind that you didn't think of this guy, Ben Stein.
Oh, how to win Ben Stein's money with Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel was a host.
Yep. Stein's money.
That was I'm actually shocked you didn't give me a little Regis. Because when I got down my list, I was mad I didn't find a spot for Regis.
I have Regis on that list too. He's super iconic. Actually, you could put him in the top, in your top five.
I think the number four to me, the Press Your Luck guy, was kind of interchangeable to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have hated you if you put Regis in that top five. But Ben Stein. So Ben Stein's another guy that I went
Jeopardy the whole way. Could be Jeopardy guy.
He would be a great Jeopardy. How old is he now, though?
How many years
are you going to get?
How old is it? That's a good call. Let's see. Ben
Stein. So while you look that up, but Ben Stein, he obviously had that big political background.
75 right? years old.
Did you know that I didn't know this. He wrote, he started his political career as a speechwriter and a lawyer for President Nixon.
I didn't know that. I mean, it's been a while. It's one of those fun facts that I knew, but I didn't remember it until you just said it.
Yeah. So, and, you know, obviously he's a lawyer, but it's so weird because you see him as the teacher in Ferris Bueller, right?
Like, yes, the iconic Bueller.
When you're writing speeches for presidents and then you're known for going Bueller, Bueller. it's wild. So there's a lot to go with. I think we could do a whole podcast on Ben Stein. I don't know who would listen to it, but
I honestly am not even sure how he actually really got famous. Like, how did he go from that line of work to a game show about winning his money? I'm not even sure he has that much money to. I think he was also the Vising guy, which is what weed people know him as. The guy who sells the stuff to make your eyes
really
clear.
His money. I don't know if you know this.
I'm just saying.
When I first started and I knew that, and I thought Alex Trebek knew all the answers, I didn't know a lot about, but I think you should know now it probably wasn't his money.
Well, way to burst a bubble now that I'm at 40. Give me some things to hang on to.
All right. I have one more guy that I think has to go on the wrong answers only best game.
I got two I want to add to that list. So go ahead.
Okay. Do you want me to go first or you want to do your two?
No, I got to hear the resolution of yours.
Ben Bailey. Do you know that name?
Bailey? No.
Cash Cab.
That is a genius show.
He did a lot.
You know, that's a genius show.
That. He's one of those guys that when you look at his like IMDb or Wikipedia or whatever it is, there is a list of a million things that he popped up. I mean, everything from like, let's say 30 Rock to, I don't know. He was on Last Call. He was on all the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on, let's see what else is here. He did the Today Show, Tonight Shows. Drew Carey's Whose Line It Is, The World Stand Up. So he did Who's Still Standing host. He did a lot. He appeared in a lot of things. But I thought he was a great host for Cash Cab. And I remember when they did it in Chicago. Do you remember that? It was like one season they did it. And it was, man, it was, I want to say it was like 2013.
That sounds about right.
We took so many cabs trying to find we didn't go anywhere, but we just hopped in cabs and we'd go like a couple blocks just to see if we can get in Cash Cab.
Did it happen? Did you close the door and like look around for cameras?
Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to bring my own lights.
I always thought it'd be interesting to do the reverse to actual cab drivers.
Yeah, we did that. We did that. So last year we actually got in Uber drivers, and it was kind of more of an act of kindness. So we did, we gave trivia questions and then gave them gift cards for everyone they got right.
Oh, I was going to say, it'd be funny if you went, not only are you all wrong, but I'm leaving this cab and you're getting no money. And then just start running away from the cab.
That's right. By the way, give me those back. you got them all wrong. Yeah, we didn't do it to
and
that
just do the hop and roll out of the cab.
that's funny. And you're not getting paid for this ride. You're like, hold on, I didn't sign up for this. It's funny. Anyway, so those are my forgotten ones. The Michael Malley, I think, one blew my mind the most when I looked at his face and I was like, oh. And there's one more that just popped in my head. I'll wait till you're done because I think you might get it.
Chris Hardwick, by far, and Jenny McCarthy was the game. That one does it for me. There are actually three that come to my mind.
Okay.
Number one, first and foremost, Chuck Woolery. One of the greatest shows of all time was The Dating Game.
Yep.
And Love Connection. And he got on Dating Games, but The Love Connection was definitely a showstopper for me. Okay. There is also, I don't even know the name of it. I've looked for it. I've Googled it. I cannot find it anywhere. But back in the day, you would flip around and you'd actually have to manually turn the television with your hand or the cable box. You'd have to hit the button.
I will not admit that I've ever had to do that.
You never had to do the cable box. Okay, fascinating. Even though you and I are the exact same age, for the same day, I seem to be the older one here. Okay.
What time were you born?
I think it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But anyway.
Yeah, it was 10 at night. So.
Okay, yeah, you seem like a night guy. Anyway, there was a Spanish channel. I don't know what it was on, but it had nothing but girls in bikinis. They were jumping up and down, and the game show host was a puppet. I don't know what it was, who it was, but it was the greatest game show I've ever seen. I couldn't understand the language.
I was going to say, do you speak Spanish?
I do. I almost did just from off of that.
How do you even Google this? Spanish game show with girls in bikinis?
The puppet game show. I don't know. And this does not seem to be right because it keeps saying BBC. That's not it. But I don't know who it was or what he was from, but all I know is
the puppet game show.
Topo Gigio, is that what it is?
There was a British one called The Puppet Game Show.
I see that. I don't know. It was on the Spanish channel. It was nothing but hot Mexican Latina women. And they jumped around in bikinis. And the guy had, it was like a real puppet with the little headphones on. He had the microphone. Okay. And it was just total Muppet movement.
Now I've gotten into porn sites here. Hold on. Share screen. Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I see with a puppet is The Puppet Game Show. And it was a British show.
That would not be it.
Unless they were just taking the British show and putting it on the Spanish station.
That might be it. And my last one, an ode to our childhood, Mark Summers. Double Dare. Double Dare was the great. I mean, talk about a show where nobody ever answered the easiest questions in the world. They would say, who is the star? Who's the president of the United States? And there we go. Pass. And the other guys would go, pass. I'd like Kevin. To do the physical challenge. And then they would go do a physical challenge. Like every, it'd be the easiest question in the world. Like, what are the ingredients in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Pass. Let's take the physical challenge. Those
physical challenges and sticking your hand up that big giant nose to find the flag that was in the slime. Without that, the show is nothing.
It was nothing. Nothing. Or going through the big ice cream sundae just to find those flags.
I'm trying to see what Mark Summers was. I remember reading some stuff about him being a really interesting guy.
No, I think he had a stroke recently, and he still continues on. He's actually on the Food Network. He has the show where they show where foods get made, where you find how they make Pop Tarts and all that.
He had lymphatic leukemia too.
That's it.
Yeah.
I knew he had a lot of issues, but he's still alive and kicking it. He's doing pretty well. He sounds normal.
Yeah, it's a surprise on the Food Network? Is that what you're talking about?
I believe so. What was the Food Network show he was on?
Yeah.
Whatever it is that he's on. Oh, Unwrapped. That's it. Because I know that Unwrapped 2.0 is hosted by Carlton.
That's right. Did they ever come out with that new Double Dare 2000? Because I saw there was a bunch of previews and a bunch of, but I never actually saw it air.
I don't know. I remember they were sitting there coming out with it again, and I don't remember that either.
Yeah, because then he produced, do you remember Wild and Crazy Kids too? That was with, was that Kenan Thompson? Was that?
I think it was.
Do you remember that?
I do. Oh, man, I forgot about Kenan Thompson. He's also up there.
All of these forgotten amazing game shows came from Nickelodeon and MTV.
Yes.
Do you realize this?
And also Remote Control. The TV show Remote Control was also a great one.
Yeah. Those were some great some great game shows. Do you want to end with some Alex Trebek facts?
Gimme.
Did you know he was a clean freak?
I can picture that.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Apparently, this is a fact I did know that I forgot. Do you know who his roommate was when he moved to LA?
Who?
Alan Thicke.
Really?
Yeah.
Show me that smile again.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he wrote that song, by the way, Alan Thicke.
No, you didn't?
I didn't know he was the one writing all these songs for the entire time.
He's super talented. A lot of people don't know a lot of things behind the scenes that Alan Thicke did. Because I think he ended up producing a lot of shows, too.
I did not know that until after he died, though. Like, all this stuff came out.
Yeah. He, Alex Trebek, almost became a priest.
I can see that.
Yep. Apparently, he spent a summer at a monastery. Apparently, he didn't like it. Also, that would be weird.
This place is weird for 200, Alex.
Yeah. He was a swearer. Have you seen those videos of the outtakes of him swearing?
I have not.
Oh, my. I'll have to tweet it or send you a link or whatever. But he had a potty mouth, if you will.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he was like a sailor, man. Everything was F this, F that, son of a beat, like everything that was in between. So what they did, took a bunch of it, which is amazing that none of that stuff became like mainstream negative news, right? Like, Alex Trebek is such a positive influence on this world.
So clear. Like, even if he had something, somebody would have swept it under a rug just to keep, like, at least we have Alex Trebek.
Yeah. So they had a profanity delay for him because they were worried about his
cursing.
Swear. Yeah.
I did not see that. That's interesting.
He had a cat named Sleaze Bucket. That's a fun fact. There's the Lucille Ball. He didn't become a U.S. citizen until 1998.
That's right. Canadian's finest.
Yeah, he's Canadian. And do you remember he had that big car crash?
I do not.
I think it was in 2004. He fell asleep at the wheel of his truck. And it was like a...
Did not picture him to be a truck driver.
Yeah. Right.
I saw him more like a Prius. Right? If you were to say what kind of car do you think Alex Trebek drove all these years, it was like a Hyundai Accent. I don't know. Something very modest.
I think I would go with he would have an old Cadillac.
Like something like a big boat,
some kind of big Buick, like a boat, you know, just a giant.
With his hands above the wheel like this.
Just something that came down the road, like it filled the whole lane.
Oh, no, I see him like the first energy smart car, like the guy that has to charge up his car at night. Like, I see him very put together.
See, here's why I don't think that is because he's not like he wasn't on any social media. He's a traditionalist, I think.
Right, that's why I think very, very private, very held together.
No tweeting, no Instagramming, none of that stuff. He's a very private dude. Anyways, we're gonna miss him. We're gonna miss Alex Trebek.
Oh, I don't know about miss him. Even when he was here, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, that guy exists. Miss him's a hard word. I think a lot of people are just more sad because it's a part of their childhood and somebody that they knew. But how many people are really watching Jeopardy anyway? Any of these game shows, to be honest.
That's true. It's just, you know, the iconic Alex Trebek. I think you can, and I think Jeopardy, the game show. I don't know who made who iconic, or if it was kind of a combined effort.
Or that theme music, yeah.
Yeah, but and then the theme music, I think, was a big.
Yes.
The theme music to Alex Trebek is the microphone to Bob Barker.
Ooh.
Right.
There's a takeaway.
There you go. That's my mic drop.
But the only thing he was missing was that little scent of pervy that Bob Barker had. The little put your hand in my pocket, sweetie, and find that $100 bill.
I don't know.
That's what made him the GOAT.
He had the mustache.
That's true. That's true. And he had the endorsement of the life insurance. But Bob Barker told your pets to get spayed and neutered. That was also you can't come away with that.
I mean, Alex Trebek was a pretty big philanthropist.
Little life lessons from Bob Barker. You didn't see it coming, but there it was. There it was.
I'm not going to. I was a Price is Right guy. I was. Have you ever been to a Price is Right?
No. Have you?
Yeah.
What?
My brother was on tour with a Broadway show, and I went to go visit him in California. And at that point, the show all went to Price is Right. And one of his buddies that was on the show made it on.
Wow.
He won the showcase showdown.
Whoa.
And we all got to run up at the end. And I was standing on like a dryer going like this.
That is.
You know, the whole family comes up on stage after you win.
Yes.
Yeah. So we all.
Where's the video of that?
I don't know. Man, that was so long ago. I was 18 years old. So that was almost 20.
That is, yeah, let's not even do the odd numbers because that puts my age the same as yours. But that is unbelievable.
Yep. So that was it. I got to be on The Price is Right, and I remember seeing myself.
How small was the studio itself?
It was pretty big, actually. I don't remember being surprised. I was also kind of ignorant to what it was or what it should be, but I don't remember because you have that huge live audience in there.
Yeah. So I remember
it's not as small as like TV news studios right now, right? You go in there and you think that there's just giant rooms and it's one room.
Or we went to
TVs that wheel in and out.
I went out to a Universal Studios tour and or Warner Brothers tour in Hollywood, and they were like, you know, they showed you different TV sets, and here's where they filmed the Drew Carey Show of all places. And it was like right. No bigger than my kitchen. And you're like, oh man, they made that look like an actual house.
Yeah, I think you get that with a lot with like the Jimmy Kimmel show or any of the talk shows.
Yeah, really Jimmy, I remember the David Letterman show at the time when it was at NBC. They would show us like his studio, and it was also really, really tiny. I was like, man, they really do a lot to pull the wool over your eyes.
That's probably why Oprah built her own building.
Oh, God, yes. And that place is humongous. And the Jay Leno studios, I went to a taping of Jay Leno, and he actually had a really big studio for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was actually pretty fun.
That makes sense,
though.
That
was fun. Yeah, he talks like this. I don't know. I'm not bad.
Is that your Jay Leno?
That's my Jay Leno.
Yeah, I don't know. On that note, I think we've done it.
I have a Seinfeld impression. I've been working on that one too.
Do you want to do a whole episode on impressions?
I got about 7 I've been working on since this quarantine. I'm willing to let them all roll.
Okay. Well, hold on to that. I think I can only do 2, Yoda and Luke Bryan, but my Luke Bryan sounds a lot like Kermit the Frog, so we'll see.
My Kermit the Frog definitely translates into a couple of people too. I look forward to it.
All right, perfect. That was a great teaser for the next time we
do this. In case if it's enough to whet your appetite, we'll see you on the next one.
Cool. Fun.
All right. See you guys.